Hello and welcome. You've tuned into Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host, and our podcast is all about personal success and networking. We'll discuss small business tips, health and wellness issues, personal safety tips, financial gain, and a variety of other topics from professionals in the field. And once in a while, we'll throw in our area of expertise, firearm safety and active shooter response for businesses, churches, and schools. So sit back, relax, listen and learn. Active Listening with T4 Tactics. We've seen a lot of uprising of active shooter attacks in this country, and when we look at it, it's because of bullying or because the kids are confused through the LGBTQ movement. They don't know who they are. They're angry. We've taught them that they can, if they're a girl, they can be a boy. If they're a boy, they can be a girl. They're completely confused because we're pushing that agenda. We're indoctrinating them. And what that goes back around to is these kids get angry. They don't know who they are. They don't know what their purpose is. So parents, faculty, staff, neighbors, friends, fellow students, we need to communicate. We have a need to have a lot more communication. When I teach active shooter response training, I stress that the key to prevention is communication. See something, say something. We've all heard that, but we have to open up communication and talk. We tend not to talk. We tend to go to our phones. We tend to send an email. We tend to be quiet and keep to ourselves, or we whisper in the break room or the cafeteria or out on the playground. We don't communicate with the right people. We need to open up communication. So parents and faculty, I just want to read you some ideas, and you can change this around how you want. You can take the ball and run with it. You can share it with other parents and faculty. I think it should be shared because it's some ideas on how we're going to open up and not only identify somebody that's being bullied, but we want to identify the cause of that, and we want to identify how can we help that person. How can we help the bully? Because there's probably something going on where they're mean, they're angry, they're getting ready to lash out. If we can stop the bullying, whether it's the bully or the person being bullied, then there's a better, greater chance that we can shut down a possible active shooter attack. And that's not why I'm doing this. It's not just for active shooter, but it's to make people content and also to feel comfortable at school, which can sometimes be an uncomfortable or bad environment. So if you talk to your kids or your students, we don't want to have you sit down and grill them. Don't make it look like an interrogation session. Make these questions just casual questions. Moms and dads, while you're cooking dinner, just kind of blurt out this question, some of these questions, or at the dinner table, or maybe when they're doing homework, just in passing. But don't sit down and make an interrogation, because they're going to tend to shut down. But some of the questions you can ask is, who or what made you smile today? What made you happy today at school? Tell me something that made you smile, or tell me something that made you happy. Another question is, what happened today that doesn't happen every day? Was it good or bad? Tell me something unusual or cool that happened today that hasn't happened before. And was it bad or was it good? It's okay to talk about it. Who did you play with at recess today? What did you do? Well, what if their response is, oh my goodness, I had a great time. We played kickball. I made a home run. That's positive. But what if they say, I don't really play at recess. Nobody wants to play with me. I sit in the corner. Or, Johnny came over and bullied me and said, you're no good at kickball. Go sit down. Nobody wants to play with you. That's something that we need to look at. What hard thing did you do today? I had to get up in front of the class and talk, and I get really nervous. That's okay. Everybody gets nervous with public speaking. Or I had to sit by myself today at recess, or I had to sit by myself today in the cafeteria, and that was hard for me. Or I wanted to tell a teacher about a problem I'm having, and they didn't have the time to listen. That was hard for me to walk away and go back to my desk and hold that in. What are you excited to do at school tomorrow? What if they say, I'm not excited to go to school tomorrow? I hate school. People don't like me. Or they give it an explanation. Or it could be something positive. Oh, I get to do a presentation. I can't wait to get up and do the presentation in front of the class. Different things are going to come out with these questions. What did you read today? Are you good at reading right now? What are you reading right now? What are your reading skills? Just little things we can ask. What was your favorite activity today at school? Maybe they didn't have a favorite one, or maybe this is going to draw out something that's concerning them, or maybe they do have something favorite. I liked doing arts and crafts. I liked doing shop. I like reading in front of the class, or I got up in front of the class and presented something, or I got to help clean up the cafeteria. You're going to find different skills that they like. What is something you learned today? That's always a good one at school. That's going to bring out, what is the teacher teaching the kids? What did you learn today? That can be very, very important. How did you help somebody out today? I'm going to talk about this towards the end, but number 9 is very, very important. Not so much being bullied, not so much being the bully, but how we can prevent bullying and help these kids out. And that once again, that was how did you help somebody today? We can ask also, what mistake did you make today that taught you something? That's always a good one in school. How can we correct things? We're always trying to get better. Always, always trying to get better. Everybody, no matter if you're an expert in a field or you're really good at what you do, there's always room for improvement. So we can always be better. Who's your best friend? That's a good one. Tell me about your best friend. Who are they? Find out about who your child is hanging out with. Or if you're a teacher, find out who's hanging out with who, because that's where things can manifest for good or bad. Well, my best friend is going to be valedictorian, or my best friend makes straight A's, or my best friend, you know, tries to give me this pill to take, or, well, yeah, it could be different things, but ask them who their best friend is. Maybe they don't have a best friend. Maybe they don't have any friends. That may be something you want to look at. And then ask, who's your favorite school teacher or employee? Well, my favorite one is the lunch lady. She's very, very nice. Or my friend is the janitor. He talks to me a lot. He's very friendly to me. Or my friend is the school resource officer. The deputy spends a lot of time. He'll sit with me and talk. And I think I want to be a cop, or I want to be a judge or a lawyer or whatever. It could be anybody in the school, but who is the teacher? Now we're finding out, who do they talk to? Who do they open up to? And if we ever need to find out any concerns, now we've got somebody to go to. Ask a final question. Ask them, tell me where your exits are. I want you to go to school tomorrow and come back and tell me how many exits you can find. Not the one you came in and out of, not the one you go out of the back of the gym for outside recess. Just come back tomorrow and I want to sit down with you. I'm interested about your school, the layout of the school. I want you to tell me all the exits where you can get out of that school quickly if you had to, or if you just had a different way to exit. Don't scare them with it, but just let them be aware of their exits. There was a case at Sandy Hook, where a kid ran out of the room where the shooter was, and he ran all the way down through the hallway past numerous exits to the exit that he was programmed to go to for fire drills, and that was out the back gymnasium door. So we don't want to program our kids that, okay, kids, we're going to have a fire drill. This is our exit from our classroom. This is our exit into fire drill. That exit may not be available, may not be the best choice at the time. So make sure your kids, whether you're a teacher or a parent, make sure they know that there are numerous, just like as adults, we should know that there are numerous exits throughout the grocery store, the mall, the place where we go out to eat, the concert, the football game, our church. Know your exits and know that there are multiple exits. Fire department says there has to be. Let's switch gears a little bit. Parents, you got a popular kid. Your kid has worked very hard. They're excellent at sports. All the kids look up to them. They're the star of the high school, middle school football team, basketball team, soccer, cross country, whatever. They have worked hard for that. I'm not going to say that it just came natural. I'm not going to say it was a blessing, because they've worked hard for it. They've trained and they've practiced, and it's a reward that they've got. But every student looks up to them. So your kid is the popular one in school. Just ask them, next time you're in the lunchroom, just look around, because they've already got that popularity. It's going to be hard to take that popularity away from your kid, especially if they're excelling in sports, or it may just be academics that they're excelling in. But ask your kid, if it's the popular one, hey, look around the lunchroom today. Look around at recess. If you see somebody sitting alone that's not popular, maybe this kid's a little bit different. I'll say nerdy with caution, but maybe they're a little bit different. Maybe they get picked on, whatever. Ask your kid who the popular kid is. You know what? Go sit next to them one day on the bus. Go sit next to them one day in the lunchroom and just talk to them, ask them questions, and just say, I want to check on you and see how you're doing. First of all, what we're going to do with that is we're going to show the rest of the school, wow, this jock or this popular kid or this smartest kid in the whole school, guy or girl, is taking the time to go over and sit and talk to this kid. Maybe I should say hello to the kid. Humans are going to follow by example, especially when they see an alpha male or an alpha female doing something. A lot of people want to be that person. They're going to follow by example. And let me be clear on something. I am not a school counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just telling you this from things that I've observed in active shooter attacks. I'm talking about human behavior that I observed, through my hostage negotiation classes, being a police officer, just 57 years of life in general. So I think if we have the popular kids go over and just kind of open up with the kids that may possibly be bullied, we're going to show the other kids, hey, you know, it's okay to go over and talk to those kids. And imagine the spirit that's going to be lifted when that kid that sits alone every day with their head down in their lunch because they're shy or they're embarrassed to look over to anybody else gets a visit from the most popular kid in school. We got to be careful how we approach it. We don't want to make them nervous. We don't want to make it look like we're treating them as a child, but we got to be very tactical with it, very diplomatic. But even a high five in the hallway, if they don't want to go sit with the kid, even a high five in the hallway, or just ask them how they're doing. I hope you share this information. You could share the podcast with just sharing the link, but I hope you share this information because if, like I said, when I started out this podcast, if a lot of, not a lot, but we're seeing a lot of a high rise of active shooter attacks that are starting now. And when we look back, we just had one in Iowa. We had one in Nashville, Tennessee last year. We've had one in Texas, but it goes back to being bullied. Going back to Columbine, those kids weren't bullied, but they felt like they were outcast. They felt like nobody liked them at Columbine. There's a lot of deep issues with those boys, but if we can bring students in and not have students feel like they're outcast or difficult or different or being bullied, anything like that, then you know what? Who knows? We may stop them from being an active shooter one day, but what we have done is we've built their self-esteem. As humans, that's what we need to do. We're here for each other. We need to boost each other up instead of tearing people down. We need to give people confidence and be there for them. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you share it. And we've got some good classes coming up here at T4 Tactics. I've got a lot of travel for active shooter response training all over the country. So I'm not running a lot of local classes here for gun classes because I'm gone a lot, which is good. A lot of businesses are doing now interpersonal skills, de-escalation techniques. And when we talk about interpersonal skills and de-escalation techniques, that's what we're doing to keep the peace. We're trying to calm down an irate customer so they don't go out in the parking lot and get something and come back in, or say they don't start attacking our business. It's all about communication. Prevention is all about communication. And that's what we're doing with active shooter response training, workplace violence. We've got to have communication, proper communications, through threat assessment, through training employees in de-escalation techniques, interpersonal skills, active shooter response training. It's not about fear, paranoia. It's communication, prevention, and then heaven forbid, how are we going to mitigate this? We're also doing, I'm also very busy doing responding to businesses that have had violent attacks where unfortunately they've lost a team member through a robbery that's gone bad or a violent workplace attack. And we're going out there now and we're starting to do reunification process of opening back up the business. Let's take, for instance, we have a convenience store where an employee is shot and expires. It's a fatality. It's a homicide. Do we want to just have the employees the next day come back to work after the police release the scene? No, we don't. Let's do a debriefing with those employees. And that's what we're doing a lot of right now is we're coming in and we're sitting down. It's kind of like victim assistance. Again, I'm not a counselor. I'm not going to tell them how to handle their lives after seeing this type of event. But what I am going to do is we're going to do a debriefing. Whenever police, fire, military have a major catastrophic event, or they have a major scene or critical incident, they all go back to their respective departments and they do a debriefing. Why don't we do this in the workplace on the civilian level? We just had some employees witness something absolutely unthinkable. So before we get back up and running, let's sit them down and let's do a debriefing with the entire group that was there that night and anybody else that wants to come. And we're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about what went wrong, how we could have prevented this. And what we're focusing on is we don't want it to happen again. Then what I do in management, CEOs understand that I'm going to do this. I'll meet with each employee individually, one-on-one in a private room. And that gives me the chance for that gives them the chance to tell me any of their concerns, security concerns. Well, if we had a locking door, this wouldn't have happened. If we had cameras, we would have seen this person coming. They're going to give me their information. I'm going to bring it back to management, but management and I have agreed. I'm not going to say who said it. That's not what this is about. This is just bringing the problem to management so they can decide if they want to address it or not. Completely confidential. And this process, you know, may take a couple hours. We're going to talk about feelings, and if you're feeling this way, it's okay. If you didn't react accordingly during this armed robbery or attack, it's okay. You've never been through it before. Whatever happened, it's okay. It's okay to feel angry. All this is okay. Again, not a counselor, but I'm going to affirm that how they're feeling is okay. We don't know how we're going to react or feel if we're under some type of attack like that. After we get done doing that and people feel comfortable, I always dress up for these events because I feel that by dressing up, it shows them on the other side of the table and in my presentations that I respect them enough to dress up and look as sharp as I can. I think that's a sign of respect. But after we finish this, I'm going to go put on jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm going to take the whole crew out for pizza or wings or burgers or steaks, whatever they want to do, and we're going to sit down and just have fun. The reason I do this is we've got one side of it that goes on at their place of business, then we're going to go out and have fun, and this is going to kind of reintroduce them back to society, get them feeling comfortable being back into a crowd or a large group. We're just going to have fun, and then we're going to end it. I'm not in this business to get rich. I don't think that's why God gave me the talent, the knowledge, and the abilities that I have. I don't think that's what it's about. I'm here to help people. So what I do, active shooter response training, my gun classes, everything, I make very, very, very affordable. The prices are nowhere near what others are charging, and the product I feel is a lot better. If you're interested, if you're a business owner, school, any type of facility, church, and you're interested about this, I could usually be out for a reunification after a violent attack within 24 to 48 hours. Get you back up and running. But remember, our employees, your congregation, they're the biggest asset you have. You've got to take care of your employees because they'll in turn take care of you. Speaking of taking care, hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Please share it. If I can help you with anything, you can contact me through my T4 Tactics website. That's the letter T, the number 4, tactics.com. You can go to contact us, or you can comment on this podcast, or you can go to any of my social media, make a comment. Take care, everyone. Reduce injuries and save lives. Thanks for listening.